from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show.
Today, we've got a paranormal romance by Emily S. Hurricane called King of Demons. How can one human survive in a world full of demons? Rosalind, known as Rosie Rainbow, finds a mysterious 90s video game in a rummage sale. She tries to research it but can't find it anywhere online, nor the company that made the game in the first place. She starts the live stream event of the season to showcase the mysterious game, but upon booting it up, she ends up inside of it. Physically and literally, standing in the center of a demonic world, terrified in fuzzy slippers. Now, Rosalind has to figure out how to escape the game, and in this place, mashing buttons on a keyboard can't save her. Emily S. Hurricane is an East Coast Canadian 30-something mom of two humans and a fur baby. Her lumbersexual husband doesn't actually work in lumber anymore, but he still wears the plaid and the beard. She's an established, self-published author, as well as a freelance editor and ghostwriter. Her books range in genre from romance and erotica to horror and science fiction, and everything in between. When she's not writing and or momming, she's sipping espresso, crocheting, and listening to audiobooks. And now, a sample of King of Demons, Episode 1.
King of Demons, Rosalind read, pointing to the words as she read them aloud. Is this not the 90th thing you've ever seen? What is this font? And it's a CD-ROM. I bet half of you are too young to even know what a CD-ROM is. Computers don't even come with CD drives anymore. I'm about to learn you youngins how us 30-year-old fogies had to play 3D video games back in our day. She was 34, but they didn't need to know that. KC was only 29 and lorded that fact over her frequently. I can't find this video game online. Where do I get it? A donor added the message to their $30 donation, splashing the comment across Rosalind's screen. Ah, well, here's the kicker and why I'm so excited about this game, she said, fanning herself with the jewel case. I can't find it anywhere. Legit. I've been researching it all damn day. It came out in 1995, alongside quite a few other awesome action games and RPGs that I was playing at the time. I was pretty into the gaming scene, and being a kid with zero responsibilities other than, like, going to school and cleaning my room, you know I was paying attention to every game that hit the market. I've never heard of this game. Never heard of the company, either. And the internet hasn't either. Or at least, not that I could find. Now, I'm a gamer, not like a deep web gal, so if any of you party people are better at digging for info than me, hit me up with anything you find. She opened the case and showed off the compact disc, which had a beautifully drawn demon face. He had angular features, high cheekbones beneath gunmetal blue skin, charcoal horns winding elegantly from his forehead. His eyes had a piercing intensity as if he could just bust through the fourth wall right into the world. I guess this is the king, Rosalind said. He's kind of hot, right? Come on, be honest with me. She winked at the camera, unwilling to admit just how many times she'd glanced at the disc that day. It was painted artwork, and in no way would he look like that in the game. It would be a pixelated nightmare in there, especially on her massive HD screen. But the artist had done an amazing job nonetheless. She could almost smell the fire and brimstone coming off of the demon's skin. She slid the paper cover carefully from the inside of the jewel case. Most of these old games came with whole booklets of lore and images and credits and instructions, sometimes maps and whatnot, but this one didn't. There was a small logo and copyright information in the bottom right-hand corner, and she held it up as close as she could, watching the computer screen to make sure the words were in focus. "Grab screenshots if you want," Rosalind offered. "The Ghoul Company. If anyone can dig anything up, let's bust this wide open." More dings, more fireworks, more thank yous. And 10,000 viewers. Holy shit, she thought. 10K people in here. Hot damn, she exclaimed, putting a hand on her ample chest. "This is amazing, you guys. Thank you so much for spreading the word. I'm so excited to share this with you. So, should we dive in?" The chat practically exploded in the affirmative, and a $50 donation splashed across the screen from KC. "Gonna be the queen of the demons in no time," he said. "You bet your ass I am," Rosalind said with a wink, and flicked on her screen sharing as the chat went wild again. Her camera window shrank to the corner, the rest of what they were seeing on the stream becoming the terminal window on her middle screen. "So, class, this is what's called DOS. Nowadays, you can get away with never seeing it, but back in the day, this was our source of gaming. Look up Pong later. You will not be disappointed." She popped open the disk drive on her computer. Yes, she had one on hers. Old habits died hard, and she still had some old CD games that she liked to play for nostalgia, and typed in a few command lines. "Okay, let's see if we can get this running." She hit enter and waited as her computer decided what to do with her commands. "Since there's no info about this game anywhere, I don't know what it's going to be, like an action game or what. Could even be a side-scroller for all I know." Rosalind huffed a breath as she watched the dark screen. "I'm so intrigued by the mystery, though." The chat continued like mad, scrolling too fast for her to even see the comments. The donation comment feature was super handy for that, so if people really wanted their message seen, they could pay to get to the top of the queue. It was also nice for her pocket, too. The screen flickered, and for a second, panic gripped her chest. She lived in a rural area on the East Coast, and the power grid was spotty at times, but the weather was fine, and there weren't any scheduled outages, and it was just the middle screen that flickered. "Oh my God, I thought the power was going out," she cried, exaggerating her emotions and swiping a hand across her brow. "That would have sucked, losing you guys even before getting this thing going." She drummed her fingers along the top of her desk. "I don't know if this wants to play nice. I might have to go digging in my dad's basement to find an old 90s CPU. She choked off her words as colors began to form on the screen, eyes widening. "What the hell? This is wild. I didn't expect the game to fill the screen like this. Video resolution sucked ass in 1995. A loud rustling came through her headphones, like a breeze filtering through a forest, leaves whispering against each other. Rosalind couldn't tear her eyes away from the screen as tree bark winked at her through darkness, an ethereal glow like moonlight dipping between the ridges of the wood. In that moment, she forgot to monologue her thoughts. She forgot that she was on camera at all. She was just flabbergasted by the intensity of the graphics in such an old game. This had to be some kind of trick. Someone had dressed up a newer game with older packaging to make it look like something else, which took a little wind out of her sails, but she couldn't deny that the mystery of it all was still intriguing. The fact that there was nothing about it online. A scent assaulted her nostrils then, something viscous and sickly sweet. And Rosalind's first thought was that she'd left a lid off her compost bin, That was the only logical answer, the only solution to the sudden problem that her brain was desperately trying to piece together into something coherent. Because there was nothing even remotely logical about what the hell she was seeing, feeling, hearing. Roslyn absently reached up in her shock to remove her headphones, but they were gone. Her curls wisped around her head in the night breeze, carrying a salty sea freshness laced with a thick, rotten waft. The tree bark wasn't encased in a screen anymore, but right before her. And her blood roared in her ears as she shakily reached out to touch it, the rough, gnarled wood scraping against her fingers. Something glopped nearby, followed by a wet, fleshy thud, bringing to mind the tentacled, horrific beast from the cover of the game. The game. What the fuck is happening? I'm supposed to be in my... Her thoughts fizzled out, all brain functions evaporating in shock as she whirled around on 2 feet instead of an office chair, fully expecting to see her room behind her. Had to. Logic. But the room was gone. There was only woods. Darkness. Moonlight. The leaves whispering a warning to run from the gargling monster in the shadows. Thud. What is this? Rosalind shrieked, panic squeezing her lungs so hard the words came out in a whooshing scream. Thud. VR. It's gotta be VR, right? Like, somehow this thing, like, hijacked my fucking brain or something. But how does that make any... Her babbling ceased as a dark thing slithered from behind a tree. Moonlight reflecting off of ebony scales, shiny with some kind of jelly-like fluid. Such a buildup that it slid off in drips the size of her fist, causing that sick glop. But there wasn't just one. There were more. Curling through the trees toward her. There was no time to think about the why or the how. There was only fear and instinct. So Roslyn ran.
So JP, let's talk about Pro Writing Aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. You use Pro Writing Aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, Pro Writing Aid will help you.
And 100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with Pro Writing Aid now. So we've mentioned before that Pro Writing Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes, it makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that Pro Writing Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using Pro Writing Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using Pro Writing Aid that I can learn from. And instead, they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find Pro Writing Aid so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out Pro Writing Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code SERIAL20.
All right. So we have a streamer with kitten ear headphones about to play a mysterious game. I am curious, what inspired you to write this serial?
Yeah, well, okay, so I love watching streamers and stuff on YouTube. My daughter and I are super into Minecraft, and we watch a ton of, like, so many different YouTubers and stuff. And my daughter is six, and she loves to play, like, when she's playing video games, she'll pretend that she's streaming. She'll set up a little thing and pretend it's her camera and stuff. It's really cute. Anyways, she was talking about how cool it would be to, like, actually be in the video game and how awesome it would be, right? And I was just like, well, yeah, that's like ultra VR, right? I've always been kind of a fan of, like, lit RPG and game lit, but I'd never taken the plunge before, and I was just like, you know what, maybe it's time. And I thought that it would be a really cool twist to have the main character also be a streamer. And then, the viewers get to follow her in, right? And how that would even play out. Would people believe that it's real? You know, would she even believe that it's real? And when she figures out it is, can she convince them, kind of thing, right? So it started as just like a little, oh, I'm just going to play around with this idea a bit. And then has kind of now grown into this behemoth of a story.
That's fantastic. So I'm curious, for this serial, which characters are you excited for readers to read about and why?
Oh, that's hard. I had originally, because this is, I'm a bit of a planter, okay? So I plan just enough that I'm like, okay, I have a kind of direction that I'm going in. And then I start writing and the characters get a mind of their own and we go off in all kinds of crazy directions. So I would say in the beginning, I was really excited to get to the main love interest, I suppose, of the story. And then as we get into it, he doesn't even show up until like chapter 25 or something. Not to say that he isn't still interesting to me, but we just kind of ended up with some weird characters along the way. I think one of the ones that has really resonated as interesting with people, and I don't want to like spoil anything, but one of the characters she meets early on that like seems like they're good and then they're not so good. But then it's kind of almost in a relatable way where it's like, well, you're just a product of your environment, but also you're terrifying. Those are my favorite kind of characters to read and write at the same time. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm also curious, what's one thing about this story that you want listeners to know or to be excited about when going into reading it?
I don't know what I think people come into these things for different reasons. I'm a bit of a jack of all genres, a Jill of all genres, I guess, because I enjoy so many different, I enjoy reading in so many different genres and I have so much fun, like, you know, playing around in different ones. And I had originally started this one as like, a little gamelet, a little bit of romance. And then just kind of really got into Lovecraftian horror somehow, sucked in the first few chapters. And then I just ran with it because why not? So I've had a couple of It's been an interesting experience because this is the first time that I've put a serial on so many platforms at once. Like I released it, it's Patreon early, but then I released it on pretty much every other free serial site I could get my hands on just to kind of see what would happen. And I've gotten such a motley crew of readers because some people are coming in going like, yeah, demon smut. And then other people are coming in going like, oh, this is such a cool concept science fiction wise. And it's really fun to be kind of chatting with different people about what's resonating with them. And then also just, you know, that pure terror of like, am I alienating certain groups because of this thing that's in it? But that doesn't seem to be happening so far. So far, I haven't like tricked anybody and go like, this is what it is, but actually it's this. So yeah, I would say, I mean, it's just been really exciting to kind of see how different readers are vibing with the story in wholly different ways. Cause we're just kind of doing a little bit of everything in here.
That's neat. So you mentioned earlier that you do play video games and your character is a video game streamer. Do you have any favorite video games that may have inspired this tale?
Well, I guess like all of my favorites are like role-playing games. Like I've played Skyrim probably 500 mm-hmm. to 600 hours of Skyrim in my life across like many different saves, because you just keep buying the new version for the new system. shut up and take my money. So definitely heavily inspired by that style of gameplay, you know, like she gets sucked in there and she's like, okay, what's my quest, basically. That kind of really immersive, like, role-playing. And originally I had set out to do a lit RPG specifically, but then I realized that I really hate dealing with all of the stats and stuff. It's a cool idea, really cool idea. Kudos to anybody that can do that. But when I started writing, and then I didn't want to stop to figure out all the numbers. And then when I went back to figure out all the numbers, I was like, I hate math. What am I doing to myself? So that's, I kind of made the shift into more just like game lit, so that, because I didn't want to upset lit RPG fans that really want to see the numbers, because it's a big part of the genre, right? So mm-hmm. I was like, I could, you know, I think her sneak goes up in the beginning and stuff, but I just, you know, so definitely heavily based on Skyrim, specifically because the original idea was very lit RPG focused. But I also was kind of like, because a lot of my favorite streamers are like Minecraft streamers, it does have that little bit of like kind of survival element as well. Definitely has that kind of feel too.
I love that. I also love Skyrim.
So good.
But I am curious. So in this serial, Rosalind has some unique foes that she needs to battle. And I'm curious, what are some of the monsters that you have come up with, without giving too many spoilers away?
So the ones right at the beginning are probably my favorite. Most of her adversaries over the course of the story are like humanoid-ish demon characters, of varying levels of danger and trust worthiness. So, but the creatures at the beginning, I had so much fun with, because they're just so disgusting. maybe I'm a masochist, but I love, a big part of what draws me to writing horror is writing about stuff that makes me go, oh, you know, mm-hmm. And I'll just, you know, think of really gross things that creep me out. And then I'm like, okay, let's dive in. And it's super fun. But just the thought of, you know, being in these woods with creatures that you can't quite see, but they sound really gross and big. And it's like, what kind of image does your brain conjure with all of these like really visceral kind of other senses, instead of just like, it was a big tentacle monster? Because in my head, you know, you can picture all kinds of horrid nasty things, just from, oh, this is what it sounded like coming around the tree to eat me in the moonlight, you know. So I had the most fun with those, even if they, I mean, I guess technically so far they are the deadliest ones she's met, but yeah, definitely had the most fun with those guys.
Nice. So I want to know, does living in Canada influence this serial in any way? And in particular, in the opening, what type of beer does Rosie crack open? Because really, that's the most important question.
It's called, so I live in Nova Scotia, and there is a craft brewery in Halifax, and they have this beer called Toller, and it's named after their dog. And the beer can, I wish I had one here to show you, but the beer can has a dog face on it, and it is delicious beer. but yeah, it's like, that's our regulation beer, and it's my dad's regulation beer. Like when we go to visit them, we always bring a case of it. So shout out to Toller.
Yeah, because Toller.
It's delicious.
Nice.
I have a coffee right now, not a beer, but yeah, so that was totally, that's the one that she's drinking. I love to set stories in Canada, because there's so many cool places here, and I also just, there's not enough, I get so excited when Canada is in books because it's really cool. I mean, it's always cool no matter where you live to read books or view movies or whatever that's set near where you live, but I always have lived in super rural areas, like, so I mean, even at one point in Southern Ontario, when I was living there, there's this tourist town, Elora, and it's got this huge gorge and like a quarry and stuff. And I grew up around there and never realized that it was actually like a world landmark. But even still, you don't hear it like talked about a lot in stories. I mean, you know, Stephen King came and filmed chunk of a movie there once, but like you don't see it a lot, even if it is pretty famous. So it's just, it's a lot of fun to kind of, and I mean, you know, they say write what you know. So it's cool to just be like, okay, I've actually been to that place, so I know it like the back of my hand. But it's fun. And I think also just because, you know, I'm Canadian and I have a Canadian voice, so it's easy to write Canadian voice. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But just, I don't know, it gives it a little bit of relatability for, and then if people aren't from around here, then they're just like, ooh, what's that place? Because that's, I actually, with my other series, Bloodlines, it starts in Nova Scotia as well. And then the whole chunk of the first book, she's traveling through the empty apocalypse all the way up through Eastern Canada. And all these shenanigans happen in like specific landmarks in Eastern Canada. And I had so much fun looking them all up. Like, it was just like, okay, I want her to drive a dirt bike off of a track into a tree. Where can I do that? And then it's like, I'm looking up ski hills and stuff in New Brunswick. Oh, it was tons of fun. So it also, it's also just fun to kind of learn more about my own provinces too, right?
Yeah. I love that so much when you're kind of able to add in little bits of places around you and kind of bring the reader into their your own insight. But speaking of all that research you do, you also note that Rosalind has a 1,000 internet tabs open, which hit close to home for me, and I know Christine as well. But I'm curious, what kind of research went into crafting this serial, and how many tabs did you have open?
I always have so many tabs open. It's ridiculous. It's like just bookmark stuff, but then I never do. It's just like, oh, I'll come back to it later. My phone is even worse. It's, and then because they are hidden and you forget. And then it's like you go close all tabs and there's like 1,000. So brutal. I did a little bit of location research just for a couple of future chapters, but most of the stuff, it wasn't even really research, but I just had to do a lot more kind of background plotting in this one because of the way that it works with like the real world versus the fake world or the game world, right? I wanted to make sure that certain events lined up and certain timelines, and now it's like we've got multiple point of views and stuff is going crazy. So to keep track of it all, you know, lots of spreadsheets. I'm a huge spreadsheet fan. And Notion, I also really love Notion. I've gotten pretty addicted to that as well. But that helps me organize all of my stuff. And then I did actually do a bunch of research into, I just kind of Googled, like, does Canada have a CIA? Because I wanted to know. And I was like, we're going to just put myself on a bunch of lists now. But I did a bunch of research into like basically what the Secret Service looks like in Canada, and then ended up going down a whole rabbit hole for a couple days. It didn't even end up mattering to the story, really. A lot of the research that I did, I was just so interested in it once I started reading about it. But I mean, that's a lot of the fun part of being a writer, is going down these rabbit holes and learning all kinds of new stuff. So for anybody who's curious, the Canada does have a Secret Service, but they're like so nice that like if you do anything that would warrant them, like they're not even allowed to like arrest you without asking, kind of nice. Like it's pretty hilarious. I was like, this is the most cliche thing. Like we try so hard not to be stereotypes, and then like the only thing you could do that's more cliche is like be drinking maple syrup while you're arresting me.
That's so wonderful though.
You know, a little bit of maple syrup, maybe that's not the whole bottle.
Maple syrup makes everything better.
That is true.
It does.
I'm not going to go there. There's a rabbit hole I could go down to, but I'm not going to. So I am curious, is there, I'm not, see now I just got thinking about maple syrup and I totally forgot what I was going to ask.
Distraction.
But you know, Sweet Tooth was written by a Canadian author, so there's a lot of maple syrup drinking in there. Okay, now I'm way off track. So you have some other serials and some other works as well. Do you want to mention those for our listeners?
Sure. I mean, I've got, again, Jill of all genres, so I kind of just like, I have a lot of stuff kicking around. A couple of, I honestly, this is only the third book that I wrote in the with the intention of serializing. A couple of my other ones, I have them on serial platforms, but they weren't really built for that, or they were like serial novellas. Like Bloodlines was more serial novella as opposed to serial chapter. This one is the first one that I really was just like, okay, I want to try it on Royal Road and stuff like that, because I just wanted to explore a lot of platforms. But the Bloodlines universe is kind of, that's my big universe pretty much, where I had started that one and kind of created this whole supernatural werewolf apocalypse thing. And then I just can't stop writing stuff in that universe, which is fun. So I've got a couple of spin-offs from that one, because it was supposed to be a romance and then it didn't end up being a romance. So I thought, okay, I'll do a couple of werewolf romances in this world just to, and then they became really long and stuff. So yeah, but, and then I do, horror short stories as well. I don't have them serialized. They're on Patreon, but, I was just did a couple of horror anthologies with some friends of mine, and because short horror is just like one of the best things ever. It's just such a nice like in between project. So like I'm gonna take a break from everything and write something really short and terrifying.
I love it. So is there anything you haven't explored yet, either in this serial or your other works, or something completely different that you plan to explore or want to?
I have always wanted to write a mystery, but I don't have the plotting skills, because you have to, like, I could try and pantswine, but it wouldn't be a mystery at the end, I don't think. It would just be something totally different, because you really need to, like, set stuff up, right? And you have to have your red herrings, and there's just so many plot beats that I don't know if I would. It would take a lot of studying of the way that the structure works, I think. But it's something like, you know, like I've seen every episode of X-Files, and like I love like the paranormal mystery cop drama kind of, you know, or like Lucifer is another one that's like really fun, where it's like the supernatural kind of buddy cop thing. Would be so fun to write something like that, but I think I would just make myself absolutely insane trying to plot it out. But yeah, that's definitely one that maybe someday, maybe I'll take the plunge. I do have a friend that she helps people with outlines for a living, and she said that mysteries are just insane and really difficult to do, but maybe I could commission her to brainstorm with me.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, I stay away from mystery too. That's a lot of work. So as a final question, what do you like most about writing serial fiction?
It's engagement for one, because it is really fun to like chat with people as you go, and selfishly, when somebody is just like, oh, I can't wait for the next chapter, it's just that burst of dopamine where you're just like, yes. So that's really, really, really rewarding and fulfilling. But yeah, I just sometimes I sit back and go, man, did we used to write books like alone and then release it all at once later? Did we used to do that? Because I almost can't remember a time where I didn't do that, or was like releasing something. Cause it gives you that kind of instant gratification where it's just like, okay, I've written this thing. And and serial writing presents its own challenges again, because if you do, you get to the end and then it's like a developmental editor's nightmare, because it's like, now I have 200 chapters of story here. Like, what am I going to do? But that's, you know, part of the process. That's super fun. But I feel like, I don't know, I release pretty much my first drafts plus a little bit of beta and proofreading to make sure that they're like polished enough on Patreon. And, you know, I, with the caveat that like, this is probably not going to look like this at some point when it's a finished book or whatever I'm doing with it later, but here's my brain dump. And it's really fun to be able to just share that with people and, you know, and get their feedback and reactions in real time as well. Because with things like Discord or Radish Live to a point. That's a really buggy app, but it is kind of nice that you can go like, okay, the chapter's out for 3 hours. We all get to freak out together. I really like that energy. I have the couple of stories that I read on Radish that are written by friends. And it's just like, you know, every Sunday and Thursday we're there and we're like raring to go. And then we read the new chapter and then we flip out together for an hour. It's good times. So that kind of like community and stuff that you just can't get from some random person, you know, buying your book on Amazon or whatever. It's like, you don't know who any of those people are. Even if they leave a review, you don't really know, right? So it's so mm-hmm. much more fun, I think, to have that kind of community based around the project. And it also keeps a fire lit under my butt. Because I'm like, well, I have to keep going. I can't just not finish now. Like, mm-hmm. I got to keep putting out chapters. So it's a really good motivation as well.
Love that. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Our thanks today to Emily S. Hurricane for letting us share their episode. If you liked it, you can find the rest of the story on her website. The link is in the show notes. And that's a wrap.
Oh, but I also went down the rabbit hole of trying to figure out if Canada had a CIA because I was writing a book set in Toronto. And it's like the RCMP, but like just a division of them. And they call them the force. Like, this is madness. Like, what?
And literally, they have to like ask you nicely. Excuse me. They can investigate you and you can say no and they can't enforce it. I'm like, what?
That's amazing.
It's so brutal. Oh, so I went down a rabbit hole about like the Five Eyes, which is apparently like the world CIA altogether. And then that was kind of what inspired the government agency in King of Demons. But I was like, I can't actually call them that because then I feel like I'll definitely be on a list somewhere. Like,
you can't use Dudley Do-Right and his like little mounty hat. Hello, can I investigate you? No. Okay.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye now.
The end.
Oh my god.
Shortest story ever.